In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." Today we celebrate the feast day of Elijah, Yeriah. He was a renowned prophet of the Old Testament, and one of our assigned readings shows what dramatic prophetic powers he had. If you've ever seen in the late 50s Billy Graham preaching to Yankee Stadium, 100,000 people, that kind of prophetic power. It was impressive. But the second reading about Elijah, it's much less dramatic and dynamic because it portrays Elijah at the end of his ministry, basically when he was going into retirement. But it turns out that the humble way that Elijah ended his life's work was one of the greatest things he ever accomplished. And Elijah and his student Elisha's humble and faithful example in times of this anxious transition holds great wisdom, I think, for us still to this day. So let's review the impressive resume of Elijah. He's revered in Old and New Testaments, right? He's the guy that shows up in the Transfiguration when Jesus is transfigured on the mountain, Moses and Elijah. He was truly great because, just like Moses, he basically single-handedly led God's people away from all their detours and dead ends along the path to God. But now at the end of his ministry, Elijah must pass the mantle to his student Elisha. And pass the mantle is a wonderful phrase that we actually get from this story. It's the prayer mantle, is passing the mantle. And we still use it to denote the seriousness of passing on leadership after someone's been there for a very long time. And it's serious because whether it's in government, or it's in business, or in church, or in your family, there's a great anxiety and danger and a great opportunity also hidden when a longtime leader transitions. How can we go on without him is the anxiety, right? What if our competition, what if our enemies use this chance to take advantage of us? Is there anyone else ready to lead? All of these anxious questions come up. And they come up especially for Elisha, who has assisted Elijah for years, and he really felt this turmoil of a transition most keenly, because Elijah was the only person this whole generation had ever known who spoke to God and heard his words and led the people. And his shoes seemed impossible to fill, but people were naturally looking to Elisha, who had followed him for so long, to step up. But Elisha was in great turmoil. And a lesser story would tell you that Elisha was in turmoil, but the Bible is a great story, and great stories, they show you, don't tell you, what happens. And so Elisha grabs his garment and he tears it in half, because he's literally torn in two. Part of him is clinging to the past and his beloved leader, Elijah, and part of him is trying to brave the new future and imagine himself in the lead. And this isn't just for prophets. You may have found yourself feeling this way in times of transition and loss. How can I go on without the only job I've ever known? How can I go on without the only partner, husband, wife that I've ever had? How can this company, how can this church, how can this country go on without its key leaders? And times like these are dangerous and disorienting because leaders and followers alike, they're not certain who they are anymore. Their identity is in question because part of us is over here and part of us is over there. Part of us is in the past and part of us is moving towards an uncertain future. Well, Elisha, by God's grace, does end up leading God's people through transition, and we could have a bunch more sermons about how he did that, but today I just want to boil it down to one maxim of godly wisdom and transitions that you can hopefully use in your life that Elijah and Elisha exemplified. And that is that what is next starts with a faithful commitment to what is now. What is next starts with a faithful commitment to what is now. That is, there's never a shortcut to a better future. It only comes by being faithfully better here and now. It seems simple enough, but especially in times of transition and loss, there's always a great temptation to force control on a situation by leaders and followers alike, thinking things like, I've got to save the situation. Thinking things like, she is too inexperienced to take the lead. Thinking things like, the place will fall apart without him or her or me. And all kinds of bad behavior in the present is justified in the name of saving the future. But neither Elijah nor Elisha falls for this. First, because they know that God alone saves and saves the future. But also because Elijah and Elisha remain humble and patient. This story shows this in a great way when Elijah notifies Elisha not once, not twice, but three times that he has to go, that he has to move on. Is that because Elijah is trying to convince himself? Is that because Elisha is being seduced by the push and pull of power brokers lining up and convincing him to overstep Elijah? Or is it just Elisha's too overwhelmed to accept that much responsibility? Probably there was a little of all this anxiety and even more, but in the end, both men prove worthy. Elijah does not believe the place will fall apart without him, and Elisha does not feel the need to show his teacher how it should be done. Somehow they both knew that if you rise to power and pride, ultimately this will cause a fall from power in pride. In other words, they knew that what is next starts with faith being faithful to what is now. And this isn't just a wise principle for prophets, but for all people and things big and small. I remember 2 years ago, one of the young people in church was running for office in school government. And I will say he was acting a tad arrogant about how his qualifications were so much better than others. And my humble advice to him was to, you know, to show his qualifications, but never lower himself to playing politics and trying to undermine the person, his fellow student, he was running against. Why? Because what is next starts with a faithful commitment to what is now. No one can lead with integrity tomorrow who has not been elected with integrity today. And so I invite you to reflect on this simple wisdom in all the communities you are a part of, your family, your church, your country. And again, this year is an election year. So every 4 years, we have a great transition of leadership and power in this country. And we'll certainly hear promises from all sides. But remember Elijah's simple wisdom that what is next starts with a faithful commitment to what is now. So therefore, we should judge candidates not by whatever they're going to promise for the future, but how they've behaved until now. Now, perhaps, looking around, you find no political leader that looks good according to this criteria. In that case, let that motivate you to be a better leader in whatever your sphere of influence is, at work, at home, in your family. Because every Christian is called to spiritual leadership. And we're supposed to look with great expectation for the future kingdom of heaven, but in the meantime, to be faithfully committed in the here and now to what God wishes to do through you and I and with you and I. So then today, let's heed the example of Elijah and Elisha, these great prophets, teacher and student, who passed the mantle of leadership in a time of great transition with great humility and great faith. Transitions abound in our modern age because everything changes so much, so we too will often feel torn between staying faithful to our deepest self in God or chasing pridefully after shortcuts to something or someplace better. But let's always remember that what is next starts with a faithful commitment to what is now, and that God will bless our faithfulness. And in his good time and by his good grace, our highest calling will be revealed now and always and unto the ages of ages. Amen.